Blog Talk Radio. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, welcome to Let's Talk. This is Minister Cecilia and also Minister Sheila. And, of course, other people call us other things, other titles, other whatever. But I am so grateful that God calls us his daughters, his heirs, his friends, his priests, his teachers. I mean, I just am so grateful to be a part of the family of God. I am so grateful that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for us, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for each and every one of you. You know, it's a song that they sing that says, that's love. That really is love. And I thank God because it's agape love. So once again, welcome to Let's Talk with Smile3E. And I will begin with prayer. Father God, we repent for sins of commission and omission. Any deed said, done, thought, or even conceived in our heart that was not pleasing in your sight. We repent for the things you told us to do and we didn't do. We repent for the places you told us to go and we wouldn't go. We repent for not telling the truth when you told us to tell the truth to that person, to in that situation, because we were more afraid of them and their reaction than what you told us to do. God, we repent for even thinking wrong when that person tried to offend us or did offend us. God, thank you for teaching us how to not be people that walk in offense, but teach us how to be people that are forgiving, that are loving, that are kind. And we thank you for your loving kindness, for with your loving kindness have you drawn us. We thank you for teaching us that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We thank you for being our Almighty. We thank you for things that are happening at our left hand and our right hand, but God, you're not allowing it to come nigh us. God, we thank you for the favor of God, the favor that goes before us, that goes with us and remains until we return. We thank you for favor with the king and the queen and the presidents and the CEOs and the CFOs and the top managers and the presidents and the vice presidents. God, we thank you for favor in the classroom with the teachers, the professors, the instructors. God, we thank you for favor with the coaches, with the team members, with the employees. God, we thank you for favor with the colleagues. God, we thank you for favor with patients. We thank you for favor with the students. We thank you for favor with the neighbors. We thank you for teaching us how to be peacekeepers, God. We thank you for teaching us not only how to be peacekeepers, God, but willing to be that person that'll say, I'll allow that, just like Jesus did. Thank you, God, for teaching us how to love our families when people would say that they were unlovable. But, God, that's been us sometimes, too. So we thank you for allowing people to love us unconditionally and for us to give it right back. We thank you for your goodness and mercy that is chasing us down. We thank you for your blessings that are overtaking us from the left and the right and everywhere the blessings, God. And not only are they coming, but God, you're giving us the wisdom of what to do with the blessings. God, we thank you for our children that you've protected them. God, we thank you that we've trained them up in the way that they should go and that they shall not depart from it. God, we train them up in the Bible. We train them up in prayer. We train them up in forgiveness. We train them up in godly attire. God, we've trained them up in those things that are in the Word from Genesis to Revelation. God, thank you for our children and our children's children. Thank you for the seed of sowing. We thank you for showing us how to sow peace, how to sow love, how to sow mercy, how to sow forgiveness, how to sow obedience, how to sow worship and praise and diligence and commitment and loyalty. God, we thank you for even teaching us how to be those that know how to go out and harvest the harvest. So we thank you for teaching us how to glean and harvest and to
do that for which you called us to do, so that we can even store up when it's time to store up for the winters and the various seasons of drought or famine. God, we thank you for health and strength from our head to our toe, from the inside out. We thank you for the miraculous of God, not only in our finances, but the miraculous of God on our jobs, in our classrooms, in our homes, when we're driving down the street. We thank you, God, for your traveling mercy that you've given us and our children and our children's children. We thank you for the healing virtue that you've bestowed upon our loved ones, our aunts, our uncles, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, all our relatives, our friends. God, we pray today for Sheila Battle. We pray today for Sheila Shy, for they've lost family members, nieces and sisters. So we pray for those that have lost loved ones. We pray for Ardell, who lost a daughter years ago, but she still is suffering with the pain of that loss, just like it just happened a minute ago. God, we thank you for your healing virtue for even Minister Sheila that's on the line, for she was having some issues with her skin, and God, you healed her from her head to her toe, from the inside out. God, we thank you for the miraculous healing that you've given Minister Sylvia, God, for she had different major surgeries and stuff that caused her to be off work for a number of years, God, but you're not only healing her, God, but you've taken her back to work, and we thank you for the favor that you've given her on her job. We thank you for the favor that you've given her son. We thank you for the favor that you've given Minister Sheila's children, Pinky and T and Juan, and everyone that's connected to them, and even Pinky's husband, who we call Pastor Carlton. God, we thank you, children and their children's children. God, we ask you to cover them, to protect them, to draw them nigh unto you, God, to turn them back unto you, God. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you will obliterate and annihilate the reprobate minds of anyone in our family, God, that they will be drawn back unto you, just like Nebuchadnezzar, God. It doesn't matter that they've been out there as some wild animal doing this or that, God, but that you will draw them back unto you. God, have our family members and our friends, God, to not live by their flesh alone, but God, to live by the Spirit of God. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, for they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you for your Spirit, and we thank you for the truth, for the truth of the Lord shall set us free. So God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for being free. We thank you for your word on today, for the things that you will have us to talk about, and even those things that you would have us to pray about, and the scriptures that you would have us to share. And God, everything that we do in this season, God, we don't want to do it without you. In the Bible, they told Deborah that they wouldn't go if she didn't go with them. God, we don't want to go if you're not with us, on the inside of us, dwelling on the inside of us through your word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Minister Sheila, did you have anything you wanted to pray or add today?
I'm just going to give honor to God today. I thank you, prophetess elect Cecilia Kaiser. I just thank you for all of them, Minister Brandon, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, to all our family, friends, within the bloodline and with the love of the Lord Jesus. I just wanted to thank God for another day. I just pray that and ask for everyone, do not forget your one thank, your first thanks when you open your eyes in the morning, is to thank the Lord and God our Father for letting us see another day to worship and praise his name, because without him we would not be. I just want to thank you, prophetess, and I just want to welcome all that are listening to that they know and understand God is the answer, the only answer, and the right answer, because he gave us his son that he didn't have to. You know, we could have been living here who knows how it is. The world is crazy, but we know we got the one above, the Father and Son, that can always show us and lead us the way. Just to reach your hand up and ask the Lord to bless you. Open your eyes, your heart, your body, and your soul for his lesson, his spirit, his knowledge, and it will lead you to where you will never understand the greatness it is above and to see. I just want to thank you and thank everyone for being with us and listening to us and understand that God is our Father. Thank you.
Amen. I thank God for Minister Sheila, and as she said, Minister Sylvia, Minister Brandon, Pastor Troy, Dr. Wright, Apostle Sandra Thomas, Elder Kendall, Prophet Antoine, all of the people that are faithfully working with us in ministry. Today I want to talk about something that sometimes is hard for people, and sometimes is easy for people, and sometimes it's a place of maturity for many people. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, and do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert, in the streams, in the wastelands." Exodus 23:20. "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to a place I have prepared." Philippians 3:12-14. "Pressing towards the goal, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on, and I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of God in Christ Jesus." Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Job 17:9. "The righteous keep moving forward, and those that with clean hands become stronger and stronger." Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clingeth so closely, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." 1 Peter 2:1-2. "Rid yourself, therefore, of all malice and guile, insincerity, envy, and of all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by the mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. Like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Philippians 3:12. "Not that I have already attained it." We read this a little bit before. "And have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I have laid hold of by Christ Jesus." I have a number of other scriptures that I'm going to go over also. But I'm going to talk about something, and then I'm going to ask Minister Sheila what are her thoughts. Times in life. We can get stagnant, or we can get comfortable. We can be in a comfort zone. Sometimes what people forget is sometimes being in a comfort zone or being stagnant means you don't grow. You don't move forward. You don't move on. Sometimes the reason that people are afraid to move on is because they just don't want to. And they don't want to deal with the unknown, per se. Sometimes it's because of the challenges of the different things you will have to learn, because you already sometimes know what you know, but the challenge of learning what you don't know. Sometimes it's because of the lack of trust in God and obeying that thing that he told us to do, that place he told us to go, because faith in God is what? It's faith in the substance of the things that are not known. So when we talk about going forth and doing something, for some people that's easy, because faith means you have complete trust and confidence in God. It means you are walking in a place where there is no spiritual or natural apprehension, or you're not wavering because your faith is in God. Why? Because his track record has already showed you that he's going to do exactly what he said. But sometimes, if you don't really trust God the way you trust him, sometimes we say, I trust God, this and that. And then as soon as he tells you to move on and to do something, you don't move on because of lack of faith, because of lack of trust, or that comfort zone. I'm learning that whether I understand what God is telling me or whether I want to go where God is telling me. When God says to move on, when God says to move forward, you have to do that. Sometimes, yes, God will allow you to come back to a thing to get things right. And so that's a really, really, really merciful place in God, that it's something that may have caused you not to grow, or something that may have caused you not to mature, or some place of hypocrisy, or some place where like, for instance, there's a lot of people that gossip. There's a lot of people that backbite. There's a lot of people that don't understand why they keep finding themselves in the midst of mess, because they don't understand that they're actually operating in messiness. So then they may find themselves in these situations all the time, but it's actually God's grace and his mercy trying to show you how to get it right. And then once you've gotten it right, you need to return not to that vomit again like a dog does, because a dog will vomit up something and then eat it. But see, sometimes in life, we forget that to move on, not only are you not going to go back to that vomit, but you're going to trust God. Even if you can't see what's on the other side. Sometimes when God ask you to trust them, you know, it seems like God has such a great sense of humor. It'll look like it's not the time to do it. Your finances won't look like it's the time to do it. The situation won't look like it's the time to do it. But see, that's when you learn how to trust God. It's easy to trust God when you can see your way, because are you really trusting him, or are you trusting what you can see? And so when God blesses us to go from point A to point B to point C, and we can see where we're going, that's a blessing. But what about when he tells you to go on to the rest of the alphabet? And you can't see your way, but you know that you heard God's voice, God. And so you lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge God. Why? Because you already know that your hope is in God, that he's going to renew your strength, and that he's going to cover you, and that he's going to carry you. Proverbs 23:18 reminds us, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. When your hope is in God, Psalms 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart and all ye that hope in the Lord. See, our hope is in the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord. And when we ask God for his wisdom, for he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and he will give it liberally. I'm grateful. So when God gives us his wisdom, we're grateful. We're thankful for his wisdom in those various situations. But sometimes in the in-between, before the wisdom is actually there and understood, and it's time for us to move forward, and it doesn't look like everything's in its proper perspective, and we're trusting God, and we're leaning on God, and we're committed to God, and we're obeying God, that in-between time, sometimes you don't always see what's on the other side. So then you don't look back to the past, because, see, some people will run back and just go to the past. You know, some people have went back to past relationships that God delivered them from. That's another message right there. God has delivered us from so many things and so many people. And so many times we've went back to those things, just like that dog went back to his vomit. And I'm sorry if this is, bothering some of y'all that I'm talking about the dog and the vomit. See, going back to get something right when God sends you back. Because, see, in the military, they don't want to leave a soldier behind. So they may go back to get the injured soldier to bring them to freedom, to bring them to the hospital. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God delivers you from somebody and something, and you know that person wasn't right for you. Whether it was an abuse of relationship, whether it was a relationship of neglect, whether it was a relationship of misuse, whether it was a relationship of not being appreciated, whether it was a relationship of them just using you left, right, financially, physically, emotionally, just everything. And when you go back to it, are you really trusting God? When on the other side, God has that person that's meant for you. But see, that person can't get to you, and you can't get to it. Because, see, you went from A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then you came back to D when that person that God has for you, that job that God has for you, that situation that God has for you, the blessings that God has for you is on the other side of him. Because it's at P. So when you keep going back to D, you're not getting to E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, F. Because remember, it's on the other side of them. But see, you can't see it because of all of the alphabets there. And then even when you're at M, the next thing you see is N, 2, and O. So it's at P. So as you go through the alphabet, or as you go through life, and you can't see P on the other end, and the reason why I use P is because it's for my papa. It's for my priesthood. It's for my daddy God. It's where his presence is. It's where the principles of God reside. It's where God obliterates and annihilates the poverty in your life. He annihilates the poverty in your thinking, the poverty in your finances. My God, my God. The poverty in your love and your trust for God. The poverty in your mindset and you thinking that you're not accountable for what goes in your ear and comes out your mouth. Not only when you are gossiping, but when you're listening to gossip and you're listening to slander and defamation of character, that's a poverty mindset. But when you learn how to put and you learn how to pull others
to their promotion, to their destiny. That's when God commands you. It's not about selfishness. When we learn to obey God, to celebrate being in His presence, to celebrate knowing God, to celebrate His people, we learn that sometimes the blessing that He has for us is behind us blessing and being a blessing to somebody else. There's nothing like praising God, even when you can't see it. There's nothing like praising God in advance, even when you don't understand it. There's nothing like praising God when it looks like all manner of evil and wrong is against you. And then on the other side of M and O is the presence of God, the promotions in God, the peace that surpasses all understanding in God, the praises and the worship towards God, and the perpetual blessings of God. He is blessed to have peace. Financial blessings are wonderful. Houses and cars, they're wonderful. But did you know some people have all of that and they don't have any peace? Sometimes you got to move on just for the peace of mind. I used to say that peace was price, was priceless, and that it would cost you. And I realized that not only did Jesus pay the price, peace, it's up to me to make a decision to stay in that posture of peace. And so when it's time for us to move on out of that comfort zone, when it's time for us to move on because we've already done what God positions us to do, sometimes God will put you in a place for a season so that you can help someone else when they think that they're helping you. Sometimes the help is learning a behavior that the Lord has delivered you from, that He's showing you the product, the outcome of that behavior, so that you could be grateful for what God has delivered you from. So what is it that God has delivered you from that you keep going back to? I know people all the time talk about being delivered from sexual perversion. They talk about being delivered from smoking. They talk about being delivered from drinking. But what about being delivered from gossiping? What about being delivered from covetousness? What about being delivered from unforgiveness? What about being delivered from being your own hardest critic? What about being delivered from not having confidence in yourself that you're going to do everything that God told you to do? What about being delivered from low self-esteem? What about being delivered from codependency? What about being delivered from always needing to have something or somebody encourage you or extol you? Yes, that is good. We do, as human beings, every once in a while need someone encouraging us. But remember, David had to encourage himself. What are some of those things that God has delivered you from that you keep going back to? If God told you you're the head and not the tail, why are you listening to people that tell you differently? If God told you that you're beautifully and wonderfully made, why are you listening to people that's telling you differently? When God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper and every tongue that rises up is against you, thou shalt condemn, why are you listening to people, situations, and circumstances that would be contrary to the word of God? The word of God is yea and amen. If God said the truth shall set you free and you're free, why are you listening to what situations and circumstances appear to be saying?
If God said, and we know he did, that there is no name greater than the name of Jesus, why do we keep thinking that situation, that circumstance, or that person is bigger than God? Yep, that church hurt is not bigger than God. Yes, that man or woman that broke your heart is not bigger than God. Yes, that financial difficulty, no, it's not bigger than God. That health situation, no, it's not bigger than God. That unforgiveness, no, it's not bigger than God. And even dealing with that, God teaches us that even when people have a problem with us, not that we have a problem with them, that we go and get it right with them. We go and apologize. We go and tell them we bad up. And then when they don't receive us, you know, we just go ahead and shift the best from our feet. We just obey God and go into them so that we can now come back to the altar and offer our gift to God. Because otherwise there's a blockage. You're not getting the blessings, God's not receiving your gift because that other person has an ought against you. Recently, someone had an issue with me. And it bothered me at first, and then God dealt with me because I was trying to basically apologize and get it right with the person like I thought he wanted me to do. And then he let me know, no, in this particular situation, I couldn't use it the way it had been done with the person in the past. See, doing things the way I did it in the past. He let me know in this case, I needed to just leave it alone. Love them, bless them, but not to be concerned in a way that would cause me to be their savior and not him. Because if they were going to this reprobate state or this type of mindset that was separating them from God, the only one that can return them to God is God. And sometimes we get in God's way because when the person's growing up or as a child or whatever, you may have been that. But once the seed has been sown, the water is there and is watering the plant and is watering the seed or whatever. We just got to wait for the harvest. And sometimes we have to realize that some people don't want to be delivered. Some people don't want to be set free. And that when we hear about hell, hell is there for a reason. It's not going to be empty, so somebody's got to be in it. So we hope and pray that it's not us. And a lot of times, yes, we don't want it to be our loved ones. But sometimes it is going to be our loved ones. Prayer needs to be, God, don't let it be me. Don't let me miss you, God. Don't let me misunderstand you, God. Don't let me be a hindrance to someone else because of hypocrisy, self-righteousness, or me not accepting what you've promised me. Like I said, if God has delivered us from low self-esteem, I'm not saying to walk around boastfully or in pride, but to walk around in the confidence and the assurance that God is going to do just what he said. Minister Sheila, why do you think don't move forward and they keep going back to things that God has delivered them from?
Well, prophecies, you really hit all of it really on the head. But the reason I can say some are scared of a challenge, but they know moving ahead is going to take some work. It's going to take some time and effort. And some just don't want to put the time and the effort of the work into it, but they too scared they might fail, they might not do it right, or what people might say, instead of asking them one and only, well, not the one and only, the Father and Son to direct them, to show them the way. Because moving on, you're going to always get criticism. Because don't nobody want to see you move up, move on to a greater position, a greater spot, a great knowledge. That end to a lot of people on jealousy. They don't want to see you move on, except that the devil in them going to try to
talk to you, convince you that you don't need to do that. That ain't going to better you. Moving on ain't going to make it better, ain't going to make it greater, ain't going to put you in a better position when all it is, like you say, your faith. God wants us all to be better. Where you was yesterday, they want you to be a better one tomorrow, today. So it's like moving on is a judgment that is better for you. God wants us to move on to be better, not where we was yesterday, last week, because it always is a better spot, is a better place, better way of life when you're moving on and keep your faith and your trust in God. It's the knowledge of knowing the word and the understanding. I don't want to be today where I was yesterday. I don't want to be tomorrow where I am today. I want God to put the faith, the knowledge, and I need to keep the trust and the faith into me to know that moving on, excuse me, is a challenge. When you learn in school, it's a challenge. To get to the next grade, it is a challenge. It is a battle, but you got to have the knowledge and the faith and the understanding that God wants us at our best, not at our least, because we can always improve and moving on to a better place, a better position, a better life that God, our Father and the Son, has prepared for us. But we need the knowledge and the faith and, as they say, the go about. You need to go about being in that step to make that next step and not to make it backwards. We need to move forward. And the only way to move that is to keep your faith, your knowledge, and the hope and the growing with God. Back to you.
Amen. 31 and 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, and all you that hope in the Lord. Proverbs 16 and 30 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Luke 9 and 23 says, and he said to them, all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Philippians 4 and 1 and 6 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about the cloud of witness again, let us lay aside every weight, not some, not a little bit, not one or two, but lay aside every weight, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Romans 12 and 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. How many of us trust that God not only knows the thoughts he has towards us, but that he knows they are expected in. Your purpose and your destiny were there before you were there. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, your destiny and your purpose was already set. Yes, we may go around the mulberry bush, and yes, we may go to the left or the right when we were supposed to go straight ahead. But how many of you know that God is faithful? He's married to the backslider, and he's faithful. He has given us a way of escape, and that's what I love. So no matter what people may think, no matter what sometimes you may think when you're doubting God, we must remember that God is a wonderful God. He will order our steps. He teaches us how to fight. He teaches us how to war, spirit realm. He teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to fast. He teaches us how to love one another. He teaches us how to encourage one another. So we have to be teachable for the rest of our lives. I know some people say, oh, but you can't be forever learning. I'm not talking about going back to that little thing again, because we already talked about that. But I'm talking about like what Minister Sheila was just talking about, moving forward through the challenges, moving forward through the unknown, moving forward through the growing and the advancements, and like she even said, through school. One of the hardest things to do is to see a person that graduates from high school, but their mindset is still at the grammar school mentality. So the teachers are required to give tests on reading and math and things of that sort to make sure that we don't have that problem again. And I'm sure it still may be happening here or there, but there's a process in place to make sure that when people graduate, they're at a certain level. Before you get into college, they have SATs and ACTs, various tests, academic tests that they want you to take in order to get in college. They have these prep classes they want you to take that you have to pass. Well, as we mature in life, there's tests that we have to take. There's tests that we have to pass. There are situations that we have to make it through, and not only make it through, but become a teacher of that very thing. God, as some people would say, will take your mess and make it a message. And so as he delivers us, and as he teaches us, and as he shows us how to teach others, we have to remember that we have a responsibility not only to one another, but to God. Heaven is not an island that has one person on. Being in unity with God, even the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are the Trinity, but they're one. They're three persons, but one. So when we forget, can't be an island, but we have to individually pray, yes. We have to individually seek God, but then we have to corporately, for there's one or two gathered in his name, he's in the midst. One can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to chase. The Bible constantly reminds us about unity. There is innumerable people in the Bible laying before the cross worshiping God. Not one person by them, their lonesome, but amazing, amazing, innumerable people praising God. Remember the Million Man March? Remember all of the people that just marched and
and spoke out against school violence. It's amazing what we can do when we come together as a people with God. If you haven't heard anything else on today, I pray that you heard God through Minister Sheila and I telling you to move on. Move forward. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and He will direct your path. Trust that God is directing your path. Trust that God is taking you to that next place, that next degree, that next level in your growth, in your maturity, in your purpose, in your destiny for Him. And we wish that none would be lost. Father God, we thank you for your word on today, that we're moving forward, that we're moving on. We've obliterated and annihilated every doubt, everything that will cause us to be anxious, everything that will cause us to not move forward, even if it's looking back like they did in the Bible and wanted to go back to the bondage to Pharaoh when you had already parted the Red Sea for them. But God, teach us how to go through the Red Seas and not want to go back. Teach us how to not want to go back to the Pharaohs of our lives. Teach us, God, how to want to walk in those great places and the blessings, places where they have the milk and honey and the giant grapes and the very blessings that you have for us. Teach us, God, how to walk in the wisdom, for if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. God, teach us how to not only be peacemakers, but to be peaceable people and teachable people. Teach us, God, how to obey you in every area of our lives, in our appetites, in our exercise, on our jobs, in our spending, in our savings, in our loving, in our forgiveness, in every area of our lives. God, teach us how to, even on our jobs, to be prayerful, how to do things your way, God. Although management may do it one way, God, if it's not in line with your word, cause us to walk in the boldness and the confidence and the assurance that we have to do it your way. Let's move on. Let's move forward. Let's move up in God. For the things that we saw in the former lives have nothing for our hearts to even conceive of what you have for us in the latter. And we thank you for the latter-day blessings and the latter-day anointing, the latter-day healing, the latter-day prosperity, and the latter-day encouraging one another and lifting up Jesus so that he can draw all men unto him. Amen and amen. So until tomorrow, when it's time for Iron Sharpening Iron with Minister Sylvia, Minister Sheila, and Minister Brandon, we thank you for all of your prayers and support. And on Friday, with Let's Talk series and God Still Heals with our own Elder Kathy Kendall, we thank you for that, that you're going to be calling in and that you're going to be supporting them, watching whoever does FaceTime, and that you're going to sow into their ministries and that you're going to be a blessing to them so that they can continue to be a blessing. Thank you, everyone, for loving us enough to pray with us and for us your God-given prayers. But remember, our foundation is Scripture, which is Matthew 6 and 3, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So until tomorrow night, with Iron Sharpening Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, bye-bye.